You're listening to the Plus Music Podcast with Brian and Nick, where we're talking to artists about what it's like to get your music heard in the ever-changing music industry, how it is to use tools like social media and other platforms as an independent artist in a changing music business. Today we sit down with co-founder of revolutionary music tech company Lalo, Alec Ellen. Alec talks to us about his early days writing a popular music blog that led him to landing a job at Sony Epic's A&R team to co-founding one of the most valuable artist tools online today, Lalo. Here's more from Alec now.
Excellent. Thanks so much for being here.
So fast forward, Lalo is where you're at now, what you're doing. Tell us a little bit about how you guys got that started and where that idea came. Mm-hmm.
And what you do.
Definitely. We started originally as a consumer app, but we quickly moved towards the data space. So my co-founder, in addition to being our CTO, is also in a band called No Suits. I was working at record labels and management companies previous to this. And what we both noticed was that artists really didn't know who their fans were. So, you know, you were getting followers on Instagram and Twitter, et cetera, and listens on Spotify. But no one was actually telling you who your fans were and how to directly connect with them. Mm-hmm. And so we started building a product that basically identified your fan bases across the internet. So figuring out, you know, who your biggest fan was on Instagram in LA, figuring out the same for Twitter, YouTube, et cetera. And we built that up over the course of a year and a half and started rolling that out. And we were very fortunate that Sony saw what we were doing early, specifically The Orchard, their distribution arm. And they loved what we were doing. They ended up backing us and partnering with us to roll it out to all the artists that distribute through them. We spent the good part of a year and a half building that out and continuing to expand it to their artist base. And COVID hit, and we started to learn some hard lessons about, you know, how that data was less effective without live, and, you know, kind of the difficulties of building on top of social platforms. But we did start to notice, because we were picking up all the social data, that about 1 in 5 posts on social media, especially from artists and other types of creators, was an announcement. So they had, you know, merch coming out, they had an event coming up, they had content coming out. And we realized that there was no destination when you announce something. So, you know, when you announce that you have an album next week, you actually don't have anywhere to send your fans because you don't have that album out yet. Mm-hmm. And so what Lalo has become is basically giving artists and creators that destination tool so that their fans can RSVP to that release and easily get notified when it drops.
Cool. And you guys call that drops, right?
That is exactly it.
That's what you call it. Okay. So what was the technology? I know you guys built, you know, a certain type of tech that was interesting to The Orchard and Sony. What was the, this might be too nerdy for most of the audience, but what was the specific thing that you built on? Can you hear my voice?
Yeah. So I got to give most of the credit to my co-founder on that one. He basically helped figure out how we could stitch together the data across all these different social platforms to answer who your super fans were. And basically what we were doing is we were listening into all the posts being shared on those platforms and seeing, you know, this fan in Los Angeles on Twitter shared your song yesterday. This person shared your music video. This person put it in an Instagram post. And so picking up all that social sharing around an artist's content, and then basically identifying, hey, this guy is clearly a huge fan of yours because he's constantly sharing your songs. He's talking about you. He's sharing it with your friends. And so that's basically what we were picking up. And we were aggregating that into basically a CRM. So a list of those fans to help answer the question, Nick in LA is a super fan of yours. You should definitely be connected with him.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So you guys have a weighted scale. You do all that, figure out who's who. That's cool. Yep. And then so the Orchard was like, we don't have that tech. We need that tech. You guys are building that tech. Why don't we partner on it? Is that a relationship you guys kind of had before, or since it sounds like you were at Sony and working with some people, did you know folks over there?
So it actually, funny enough, was not through having worked at Sony, just because it was a totally different group, but through a great mentor and advisor of mine. She introduced me to Brad, who's the CEO over at The Orchard, and Jacob, who's the CTO over there. And we happened to be kind of like perfect room at the right place, right time situation. We were just pivoting away from our consumer app and building out this this kind of artist fan dashboard. And they saw it. They completely understood the concept. You know, they're really big on fan artist relationships and how to better build that bridge and, you know, provide that back to their artist base. And so I think it was just kind of a perfect match of timing and technology.
Mm-hmm. Got it. That makes sense.
I mean, from the get-go, it's always been an interesting idea to me because even as an artist, I get those emails every year from Spotify. Hey, your songs were played X million times or whatever. And you're like, wow. But who the hell are those people? I'd love to go tell them I have like a B-sides record or a reunion tour with that band, you know? How do I? But they're never going to give you that. I love the concept of, you know, finding those people and putting them in a bucket of people that you can actually reach out and engage to and tell, and they'll care, you know?
That's exactly it. I mean, it's so funny because like in any other business, you know who your customers are, right? Like you actually know who the people are that pay for whatever it is that you're selling or sharing. And, you know, when it comes to music, you just get that raw number at the end of the day. And you're like, great, a million people listen to me in Mexico City. Like, who are they?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
they love me, but I don't know who they are.
So yeah, that's an interesting exactly the problem. Where we, you know, the music part of it, which is the product basically of a musician, ends up going through so many pipes to get where it needs to go that, you know, the creator of the song gets cut off. So clearly that's what you guys are trying to do, is reconnect. So you go around, you start back and kind of build a pipeline back for them directly.
Exactly.
Great.
That's cool. So you said your co-founder's in a band?
Yeah, so he's in the band No Suits. They're awesome. Definitely gotta check them out. He's been at that for, I think, I don't even know how many years, but they do really well. They've got a ton of, you know, plays. When touring is happening, they tour all around LA and different cities. So it's a pretty awesome kind of blend of, he's this incredible technology builder, but also has like that insight into actually being an artist and, you know, using the tool himself.
Super. That's great.
Boy, what's his instrument?
He plays a little bit of everything. I think he'd say he mainly plays guitar and keys, but I've seen him do a little bit of everything. I don't think he sings.
It's just so much easier too, to just, you know, believe and embrace a music tech where there's actually musicians and people who like music actually behind it, you know, rather than the guy in the suit with a good idea who has maybe been to two Celine Dion concerts. It's great. Your guys' background, it just completely validates it. But I really love that, you know, just bucketing your super fans, bringing them to places now, what artists need, live streaming avenues, pre-release for vinyl. That's really cool. So it was interesting that you said, you know, there's, you know, every other business, you know, who you're paying customers, but not in music. Do you think that that's a problem that could eventually be solved by tech? Like, you know, for instance, like a blockchain thing where you can see everything kind of in real time, full transparency, or like, where do you see that, you know, going as far as transparency in such an opaque business?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely already starting to happen. You know, musicians are getting closer and closer to their fans, and they're looking for tools like this, because I think across the board, you see like the value of knowing who your fans are. When you go tour in LA and you can't tell the people in LA that love you that you're going to be there, it's a huge issue. So I think, you know, over the last couple years, especially, that shift has been happening a ton. And now, you know, with the advances in technology that allow us to build products like this and allow us to kind of scale it globally really quickly, I think you're just going to continue to see that shift. And it's also, you know, a tool like what we're building with Drops is just so easy to set up and use that I think for an artist, it allows them to focus on their music, but also, you know, capture that key audience insight that they're looking for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you think that where you're going, Brian, was like maybe like trends and things outside of where Lalo's at and what you guys are doing? What do you see? What are you guys talking about? Like, you know, when you guys are chatting about the music business in general, you know, we're coming out of a global pandemic. Like, there's going to be some major changes. Things are never going to go back to exactly the way they were. Right. Even if, even if we get 80% of the population inoculated soonish, right? It's like not going to necessarily change. A lot of people are gonna have PTSD. Like, I don't want to be around people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people.
You're gonna have this like generation of, there's gonna be the roaring 20 people. I don't give a shit. I'm out there. I'm going for it. Like, that's not gonna go away. But then there's gonna be a bunch of people that still want to see shows, but probably are gonna watch the live stream version of, you know, like the Starlight. Yeah. Playing, you know, whatever. What are you guys thinking? What's the tech that you see coming up? What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's really interesting is like you said, I think the future is definitely going to be blended, because even before the pandemic, you know, there's people that just can't get to a concert. The band might not ever perform in their city or their country. And so it makes a ton of sense for, it makes a ton of sense for you know, any one of these concerts or festivals to have a digital presence, because mm-hmm. You have such a wider audience, and you know, people around the world can participate even if they don't have the opportunity to do it in person. So I think that's definitely not going to go away. I think this definitely accelerated it and showed people how, you know, good it can be, also how bad it can be. Mm-hmm. So people kind of learned, you know, what the good and bads of it are, and you know, there's definitely a lot of fixes being built for that. I'm super excited about kind of the blend of like immersive reality, gaming, things like, you know, what we saw with Fortnite and, you know, what Roblox did. I think that's going to be a really interesting change in the future, is how you blend these kind of universes that people hang out in with music and with concerts and, you know, interacting with artists and other types of creators. That's what I'm really excited about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny, cause I got an Oculus Quest yesterday. And I was geeking out on it, and it's like, you know, okay, so you're watching these 2D, like, you know, concerts and somebody, bad lighting, and it's like, set up a camera, we're doing a live stream. It's fine. Yep. It's kind of lame. But what it is it's very much like it was the test ground for what will happen next. And we're only really restricted by enough people having headsets to have a VR concert. Is going to be like a million times cooler.
Yep.
Than what we have right now, which is, you know, bands in town, like shows, and you know, you're just kind of limited by how they recorded it. But I agree, like being able to step into that concert in Fortnite and like look around and see a bunch of other like avatars or actual mm-hmm. humans or whatever.
Yeah.
Fascinating, you know, like there's that book Ready Player One, which kind of like the dystopian version of what could happen with with a, you know, a VR universe that everybody jumps into. But honestly, it's pretty awesome. Like I could see, I was, you know, like you can get Netflix on there and basically set up just a giant screen. It's a movie theater of your own. Just watch whatever you want. And
yep.
You know, play games or whatever, but it's still pretty early days. It's got these like wands, you know, no hand, there's no gloves or anything, you know, that's how it should be. But there's something different about a live show where
mm-hmm.
standing next to human beings, and you know, human beings have an energy, right? You can feel it. And it's like, people are super into it. Like you go to those big concerts, right? And where everybody's like an ultra fan, and when they play like that song that everybody knows, the whole stadium goes crazy. Like you can't match that. That's a feeling that can only happen with other human beings around you, you know? And then the stage and the sound and the subwoofers in your soul. But I think the other one's pretty cool. I mean, you could be like on a pagoda in like ancient Japan seeing a band play, you know, like just stuff that you could never think about otherwise.
Yep. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's super interesting. I wonder.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, I mean, the really interesting thing with those as well is like what happens with merch and like goods, because you know, we're already starting to see this. My brother's 10 years old, And, you know, he's more excited about getting like the cool outfit for his Fortnite character than he is for himself. So you think about, you know, how that kind of mixes with artist merch and artist goods and, you know, all these digital goods companies that are coming out now and thinking about, you know, collectibles and things along those lines are going to get really, really interesting when you have these super immersive experiences. And, you know, you brought up Ready Player One. I was just talking with my family about this the other day, because I think that we're definitely at the early, early stages of this, but it makes a ton of sense to want your character to have the coolest stuff and to, you know, have that badge that shows that you're a super fan of that artist and all the things that, you know, there's no physical good to hold, but mm-hmm. you have it in that kind of universe.
So like your Fortnite guy could be wearing like a leather studded Ramones jacket.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. There's all kinds of,
I get it.
You're totally right. There's a whole world. I was just talking to somebody yesterday who's got like a 10-year-old son, right? She was like, yeah, I had to set him up on this account and he's selling like digital guns and skins. Yeah. It's like a whole marketplace. But yeah, I think digital goods is just a fascinating idea. Like, it's like software, right? Where you make it once, it's repeatable. There's no... Yep. You know, it's not like production of this phone or whatever, but I think that's super interesting. I think like limiting supply and those things are going to be really interesting. And then being able to locate people because they have that thing, you know, like yep. Where are all the jackets? Can we go to a room and hang out? You know what I mean? Like you can unify people based on that. Like instead of having it be geofenced in real life, you can only get access to this club to see Elon Musk talk or whatever if you have this digital good that you paid for. But it's like, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you, are you on Clubhouse?
Yep, I am.
That's kind of interesting. You know, it's that exclusivity is what's running that right now.
Definitely.
I think when they open it up to everybody, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be as cool anymore. You know, I think it's one of those.
Yeah. I mean, I think the interesting thing that you said about software, right, is like there's no marginal cost. Like you can produce a billion of those T-shirts, but then it almost gets more valuable. And oftentimes it does when there aren't a million of the T-shirts. Mm-hmm. There's only 10 of them, even though it costs nothing to make the, you know, another one. So it's going to get really interesting to see like how exclusivity and scarcity play into kind of this digital goods universe. And
totally, you know, it could be like cryptocurrency almost. I mean, why couldn't it be? There's only a limited amount of badges made, you know, and it just drives the value up.
Exactly. And they're doing this with they're called like NFTs, right? Like if you guys have seen NBA Top Shot, like you can buy basically like clips of NBA games and people are reselling them for, you know, five times the amount. And I think that's only just going to continue to grow because it's a collectible, just like a Pokemon card or, a rookie basketball card or anything like that. But I think it's gonna be really cool with music too, because, you know, you think about all these music assets that are getting bought. You know, how does that kind of work in a digital goods economy? Like, can I buy, you know, a piece of the rights to my favorite artist's song and even partake in the revenue, maybe, you know, there's so many places it can go.
Yeah. There's some people doing that. And it's a smart idea. To have somebody have a vested interest in your song makes sense, right? Like not only does that song mean something to you, but you have a stake in it, you know, like you sharing it, you get something out of it. I think like, you know, there's going to be perspective is going to be sold, right? You're going to have this concept of, I was at the Lakers game on seat 322 from this angle, and I'm selling my point of view from this game when he dunked. You're right. Like this particular play, I have this, do you want that? Cause I can sell you that. That's a one of its kind of experience. And then somebody will just have its own business where it'll be validating those things, just like they do with cards. There's like a minting thing. You send your card in and they'll, you know, they'll check the value of it and send it back to you and make sure it's whatever. They'll be doing that same thing. And that's what blockchain would essentially do, right? That's like the whole point of it.
Yeah.
I think that the future is going to be really interesting. I don't see how digital lives becomes less. I just don't see a future where we're not more digitally connected, like immersed. Because all of those interesting ideas live there. They don't live in the regular world, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's mildly frightening.
But it's, I mean, you brought up Clubhouse, right? Which is like these live conversations. And I think that that's like, we're just trying to replicate some of the great things that happen in the real world, but make it, you know, kind of global and easily accessible. So it's not like a different thing. You can go watch Elon Musk talk at a panel with a bunch of, you know, reporters or whoever it is. Being able to tap into that sitting in my bedroom is totally pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's what Clubhouse did like last week, right? They just on that thing and it like it filled up in seconds, right? And if you got in, you were in, right? And so, but what's going to be interesting is when you open up a big swath of the world with, you know, once internet is available through satellite anywhere and you don't have to dig your way through to get to these towns, all of a sudden the rest of the world opens up to all of this opportunity too, right? So you have got like, I mean, luckily, like most phones are connected now. So that's where the opportunity's at, especially in like developing markets like India and South America and Africa and all that. But the access is through the phone, not through like any other way, right? Because they don't have, can't get to the Serengeti. They can because they have a phone, right?
Yep.
So that's interesting. What do you guys see for yourselves? Like, you know, most companies have some product online. You probably don't want to tell us what you have in mind, but if you do, like, where do you think you guys will keep going? Is that worth talking
about? Yeah. I mean, I think the stuff I can share is kind of in the immediate future and what we're seeing working and what we're seeing like artists ask us for creators ask us for. One of the big things is rewards for fans. So, you know, being the first to RSVP to, you know, an event or to a merch drop or whatever it is, being able to get rewarded for being that first in the door has become really popular on the platform. We're definitely planning to continue to expand that out, making, you know, new types of rewards, just making it exciting for fans to be there early. Also, you know, customizability. So every creator has their own aesthetic and really wants this to feel like their own page, their own brand. So we're just continuing to open that up, make it more malleable, what your page looks like, the colors, the fonts, the pictures, all of that. I think that's super, super important. And then just opening up new ways to connect with your audience. So, you know, right now with the platform, you have all these fans signing up. As a great example this week, there's an artist who she shared her post on TikTok about her new song. And every single comment is like, when is this song coming out? This is amazing. Like, you know, tens and tens of thousands of people are liking this video and commenting on it. And now she could use her Layla link, which is what she did, to basically say, hey, get notified when this drops. And now she has this direct communication channel to her biggest fans who are all asking for this already. But now she actually has that way to communicate with them. So, you know, we were talking about earlier, you have those million listeners in Mexico City. Now you know who they are and you can actually talk to them and you can actually share things with them. Right. So I think just continuing to open up that pipeline is probably the most important thing we can do.
Mm-hmm. What do you just for the musicians out there, I guess, since you guys have been in looking at social media, looking at engagement, looking at fans and bands and artists and all of that, what you guys probably have come up with some sort of like a concept of what you think a band should do to win on social media or win with fan engagement. What do you think your vision of it is, of like the right thing? What's a best practice, I guess, for a musician?
Yeah. I mean, I think the cheesy answer, which is pretty true, is authenticity. You know, like Saj, my co-founder's band, they're like very funny with their videos. Like the stuff they post is super goofy, very unedited, very raw. And I think their audience loves that. It's just like, it feels like they're being themselves. There are other artists that are extremely polished and their audience loves that. So I don't think there's any like right or wrong other than actually showcasing like who you are as an artist and what your vibe is and what you want your audience to think about you. So, you know, there's a million ways to blow up on social media and to do well on social media. But I think the worst way to do it is to not be yourself and to not give your audience kind of the look into your life that you want them to have.
Yeah, I think that's it's so interesting because there's a lot of parroting, right? Like, and I don't mean that in a bad way, a derogatory way. Like usually you do what you see works, right? You just try to do it yourself and hopefully it works for you. But I would agree, like, I don't know, unless you have a really bad personality and you don't want people to do that, you probably want to be, you want to be as authentic as possible because really you want to kind of polarize people out, right? Like, you don't want people to half like you because they just don't do anything, right? Whereas if you could get them to be, you could get 5 out of 50, it'd be better than like 20 that don't really give a shit, you know, because 5 makes a difference because those 5 will actually tell people about it. And that actually is where things grow, you know? And then as far as like, what do you think about focusing on one platform or doing them all or chasing just where all the activity is? What do you think?
I mean, I think it's also, again, kind of a result of what type of artist you are. You know, there are advantages to being on Twitter if you have a strong personality by text. You know, if you can really like leverage that platform, people gain huge audiences there. But some people just aren't great on text. They're way better on video or way better in pictures. I think it's pretty much you have to be on TikTok today. I would say that with, you know, the smallest caveat, maybe you don't, but like pretty much anyone should be on TikTok because the ability to just explode on there is really wild. I mean, seeing artists that literally put out one video yesterday and they're getting a million people to go like that video and share it. And they immediately have an audience and people that love their music off that one video and are engaging with them. I think that it's really the best platform available today to blow up from 0 to 100. So I would say that's a great go-to place. But yeah, just picking and choosing the platform based on your personality and what your style of posting is also good advice.
Yeah, I think that, you know, with social media, like there's moments for platforms. It's been TikTok's moment the last like year and a half, right? Instagram was several years ago. It's just, you know, you for new artists, I've seen it's hard. It's hard on Instagram. Like it really is. Yep. You can't go on there and just like get an audience. You basically have to pay your way into it. And, you know, it's just.
Yeah. I mean, I think the amazing thing with TikTok is that they've built it so you don't need an audience to blow up, which, you know, in every other platform, you have to have followers for them to see your content. On TikTok, it's like if you put up a video, it'll get put, you know, shared out to a small group of people. And if those people like it, it'll just keep being shared out to more and more people. So that kind of, you know, growth curve is just incredible. If you hit the right video at the right time, you could literally explode overnight. And I don't think that is even available on other platforms. I think they're all trying now and they're all trying to figure out how to open up that opportunity. But it's definitely an incredible place to you know, start from zero and really gain an audience really fast.
Yeah, I think when, you know, when you start selling ads and that's your world, you kind of kill that thing because that's what people pay for on this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you know, I always thought Instagram should remove musicians from a business, like as a bit, they kind of treat you as a business and they govern you. Regular people, it's not, right? So I think if they would have let artists and musicians sort of live in that more viral world where the network's actually helping them grow like TikTok is doing, you would get so much more work out of everybody because they would believe that you could actually get to that place, which is what's running TikTok right now. It's that belief.
Yep.
That I can make it on this platform. Mm-hmm. Like that's a real thing, you know?
Yep.
That there's very few like other ways to do that in the world right now.
Well, I think the big difficulty for all these platforms really, like, and I'll kind of jump into why TikTok doesn't have this, but with Instagram, you don't actually reach your entire audience. And people always talk about this, you know, if you have a million followers, you're hitting maybe 10% of them. And the reason for that is because their entire business model is predicated on pay and you can access your full audience, right? So they kind of have this catch-22 where it's like they need to continue building up the business, but they also want their creators to stay on. I think the brilliant thing that TikTok has done and YouTube is a little bit similar like this is they're just going for overall viewership numbers. So if they can get a ton of viewership and they can insert an ad in between that viewership, they get paid and they don't have to limit your audience. So I think that that's, you know, something that Twitter as well, but Instagram and Facebook have really grappled with is how do we figure out how to like meet that middle ground where we still want you to pay, but we don't want you to lose so much of your audience that that you stop using the platform. And, you know, not to plug myself again, but that's part of our pitch is like you really should own your audience and you need a place that you actually own the access to the fan directly. And you don't have to worry about having to buy ads every time you want to reach them.
100%. I think artists too should, you have to realize that platforms own your audience. You don't own it, right? So if something becomes uncool, what happened to all those people that you used to have and you worked so hard to get, and they're just like not there. They're kind of ghosts, right?
Yep.
You can't get to them anymore. You might be able to DM them and that's just, but that's a manual process. Like you had 10,000 fans, you have to manually write. It's fucking not going to happen, you know?
Yeah,
like you don't have enough time, but yeah, it's interesting. I wonder where, you know, because if you think of it, like Instagram is selling mostly still and video visions into life, right? They're selling perspective. That's the innovation there. And then TikTok's doing the same thing, but they've gamified it with music, and then they make, you know, everything you've been just saying about how they spread content around in it. I wonder what the next thing is going to be. Like, what is the next? What's the next?
Hello? Remember Ello? Could it be Ello?
Oh. I mean, there's audio, like, we just talked about it, the Clubhouse. Which is social audio, right? Isn't how they classify that. So that's kind of interesting where you get like people to talk about stuff and you sit in and listen, you know, that's kind of interesting. It's like a real conversation live. We could potentially be doing Clubhouse right now. It's actually considering, should we do our podcast on Clubhouse and then just record and double it. But then there's this visuals is so much more interesting. You know, and it's so much more engaging. Like Clubhouse, you have to catch the moment, not the moment, right? Whereas like when you're laying in bed and you want to just like scroll around, what do you think the next innovation is going to be?
I mean, obviously, you know, I'm just speaking from my own experience. And if I knew, I would definitely be building more in that direction. But, you know, from what we're seeing, I think that it's, you know, there's this concept, the metaverse, which is basically, you know, these mixed reality environments. I think everything from, you know, Fortnite to Clubhouse is kind of touching on this, you know, shared environment that's also digital. I definitely think everything's moving in that direction is just how do you create intimate experiences that aren't entirely in the real world, right? Mm-hmm. So whether that be gaming or it be audio or it be video, I just think everything is moving more and more that in that direction. And, you know, people like places to hang out. And so if those places are cool, whether that be, you know, a game or an awesome, you know, audio chat, I think that any platform that kind of capitalizes on that feeling like you're in person, but you're not in person aspect and adds like the digital flair to it. I think that those are going to be the big platforms in the future. And I think that that's why Fortnite took off like it did. I mean, my little brother literally considers that his playground. You know, he's not hanging out in the backyard with his best friends. He's on Fortnite and they're running around and, you know, they're playing the game, but they're also just like chatting and just hanging out.
Totally, yeah. So,
you know, and I think that that's a lot of where things are going is just like those mixed reality environments and, you know, metaverse type of environments.
Yeah, the metaverse concept is really interesting. That's like, you know, the founder of Epic Games is big on that. And he's really pushing towards interconnectivity, right? So
yep,
all games being accessible to all platforms versus them being siloed off, you know, because that's how the gaming world, he's talking about the gaming world where like you make a exclusive content for like PlayStation. You can't get it on Xbox. That's why you buy PlayStation. And that was their move, right? Yep. But yeah, it doesn't make sense. And then when you're talking about digital content or digital merch stuff, like you want, I want my badge, my, you know, like, what are they called? The suits, your co-founder's band, something suits.
Oh, no suits. Yeah.
No suits. The no suits badge. I want that to work on whatever platform I'm at, right?
Yep.
Versus it being kind of stuck in one person's app, because that's what I think. I think the future is whatever you build, it's built so that it can be shared and brought out and sort of like connected into this metaverse concept. It's like, you know, the Ready Player One movie was a very good like visual version of that, right? So you could, you know, you could drive the DeLorean, you could drive, like you could have all these things that were tied in from movies and getting whatever. It was, yep, all in one place. So that pop culture becomes one thing like it is in the real world, but a version that's kind of online.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's cool talking computers and music. And so where, you know, as we wrap up here, where can everybody find you guys?
Yeah, we're just laylo.com. So LAYLO. You could sign up right now. So it's super easy, you know, self-serve, but definitely hit us up if you have any questions or requests. I'm on all social platforms, just at Alec Ellen, and our company's at laylo.com spelled out. So yeah, hit us up on any of those, but definitely check out the website.
Sounds good.
Really awesome. Love what you're doing, Alec. We believe and really appreciate you taking the time to join us, man.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for hanging out. Talk soon.